2 Corinthians chapter number 2. We began this morning pointing out to you three principles that are mentioned in the New Testament. Very powerful principles. And then looking at some pictures from the Old Testament to explain those New Testament principles. One of those principles that we mentioned this morning was also out of 2 Corinthians. Paul said, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal." He said, "We're in a battle, but we're not fighting with instruments of warfare that we can see or touch. We're not using tanks and machine guns. Our battle is with something we can't see. So we must fight with weapons that we can't see." He said, "But they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." Another principle that he mentioned was in Romans. He said, "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors." Boy, I wish he wouldn't have put that "more" in there. It just messed me all up. I don't know about you. I ain't real consistent at nothing I do, and I'm sure not more than a conqueror. I do every now and then have the privilege of conquering. He didn't say he'd make you a conqueror. Oh, he didn't say he'd give you a couple of good days and five bad ones. No, he said, "I can make you more than a conqueror." I'm interested, aren't you? Then this little principle, I'll read it in our eyes tonight if you've got the Bible there, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Paul said, "Now thanks be unto God." Boy, I wish he'd left these words out. If he hadn't put these in here, I'd have been all right. I could have, you know, patted myself on the back when, you know, I do have a few good days. He's not interested in giving you a few good days. He said, "Which always causes us to triumph in Christ." Paul said, "God got it fixed up where He said you can always triumph in Christ." So this morning we begin to look at some Old Testament battles just to see how they won them. And we began this morning preaching on some earthly battles fought in some heavenly ways. I want to turn our attention to another one of those battles tonight. You've got the Bible, Judges chapter number 6. And chapter number 7. We looked this morning at the battle of Jericho, the battle for our fortresses, those embedded things that stand between us and going further with God. I thought I'd give you a little quiz tonight, see if you learned anything this morning. If you did, jump right in here now. You're only going to get one question on this quiz. When Joshua and them took Jericho, apart from shouting, does anybody else remember what they did in order to get the walls to fall? Nothing. You know, in the last 15 years, I have accomplished more doing nothing for God and allowing Him to do it all through me than I have ever accomplished in all my life. I was wondering, had you tried doing nothing lately and allowing God to do it all through you? I don't know about you. I just always get in His way when I go to doing something. He is such a great, marvelous God to do it through us. Tonight, I want to turn our attention to Gideon's battle with the Midianites. And I want us to look, as we did this morning, we looked at the battle for our fortresses. Tonight, I want to look at the battle for our faith. The battle for our faith. Of course, if you're familiar at all, you're saved tonight, you know that faith is resting all the big upon the Lord. Resting all our weight upon Him. It is resting our thinker upon Him, all our thoughts. It is resting our feeler upon Him, all of our feelings resting upon Him. It is resting our doer upon Him, resting all of our doing upon Him. I came across the definition of faith not long ago. It helped me so much. It says that faith is stepping out on nothing. You tried that lately? Stepping out on nothing. What are you going to do if you step out on nothing? The little definition said stepping out on nothing with the confidence that if it don't hold you up, God will teach you how to fly. I like that, don't you? I've got a God tonight that has the ability that if I step out on nothing and it don't hold me up, He will hold me up. I like that, don't you? Faith tonight. I want us to see in the story of Gideon tonight. I didn't know if you're familiar with this or not, but Gideon is the Old Testament Thomas. The boy doubted everything. He just never could get clued in on anything until God did some things in his life. As we begin in chapter number 6, if you've got the text there, and verse number 12, I want us to see tonight that little faith. That's what Gideon had. I'd say that's what most of us have tonight, little faith. And there's not too many big faith folks around. Andrew Mary said this, the old Puritan writer of yesterday. He said, when we get saved, I hope this won't upset you. He said, when we get saved, we're all carnal Christians. I hate to tell you that, but when you got saved, you was a carnal Christian. What does that mean? You operated totally on your senses. What you could see, feel, touch, hear, it was all that. Andrew Murray said, very few people ever move from being a carnal Christian to being a spirit-filled Christian. Not operating on their senses, but operating on being spirit-controlled. And Gideon is a carnal Christian. I want us to see tonight that little faith, of which most of us have tonight, if we'd be honest, will have his test. He will test your faith. I love what the psalmist said. The Lord trieth the righteous. Faith given. If God's giving you faith, you claim to be saved tonight. Some of you shouting a little while ago talking about you going to heaven. Faith given will be faith tried. God's going to try your faith. Preacher, why in the world is God trying my faith? Is He trying to see if I've got any faith? God forbid. He knows whether you've got any faith or not. He's the one giving it to you. Well, how come He's trying it for? Because He wants you to see if you've got any or not. And you can't see if you've got any unless He tries it. Faith given? So if you're having a hard time, thank your lucky stars you got some faith. God don't try nothing you ain't got. Little faith will be tried. Of course, in the life of Gideon, we're going to notice tonight that he's going to take him to the highest peak of trying his faith. I can remember shortly after I got saved, went into the ministry, I remember the days of God trying my faith to get me to believe that God can. Man, I was so excited when I come to that position. Son, I wanted to shout. Man, I believe God can. I believe God had the ability to do anything He wanted to do. Woo! Man, I got excited. Boy, I wish He'd have stopped there. He didn't. He wanted to take me to believe that God will. Not that He just had the ability to do it, but He wanted me to believe that He was willing to do all that He had the ability to do. Man, I like to have a shout and spell when I come to the position. I believe in my heart that God will.
I believed it with all my heart. Man, I wish he'd have stopped there. You know where he wanted to take me next? Same place he took Gideon. He wants Gideon not to believe that he can. He don't want Gideon to believe that he will. He wants Gideon to believe that he already has.
Amen.
And there is no visible evidence that he's done anything. You ever believe God acted like you already got it and you ain't got nothing? Matter of fact, people are looking at you behind your back and going like this. They nuts though. They acting like they got it and they ain't got nothing. It's exactly the highest peak of faith tonight. Is God taking you to the realms of believing that you've already got it when there's absolutely no evidence that you have anything? Notice how it operates in the life of Gideon. Little faith will have his test. Notice in verses 12 and 13, Gideon looks but sees nothing. That's what the natural eye will see. You operate on your senses, operate on your feelings. Gideon looks but sees nothing. Watch the text, verse number 12. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him. Did you see Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D? This is a Christophany here. A what? A Christophany. A personal, public, visible appearance of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. Jesus taking on human form. You say, preacher, I didn't think Jesus was born till Matthew's gospel. He's going to mess you up if you think that. He's been the Ancient of Days. He's from everlasting to everlasting. He appears here to Gideon. Remember now, Gideon looked but sees nothing. Look what Gideon says. He says in verse 12, he says, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Verse 13, and Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? Notice how when you operate on your senses, operate on how you feel, how you think, you operate on what you can see. Did you notice that Gideon, he's talking to the Lord now, and he tells the Lord, who is standing right there in front of him, he tells him that he's not there. You know, that's an awful strange thing to do. You standing right there talking to God and said, if you be here, oh, that's the way the senses as always are. Doubts will always play on whether God's there. Matter of fact, did you notice the text? He says, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? Isn't it amazing how we think when everything's going good and you're getting blessings and blessings and blessings and blessings, we think God's with us then. And when things are going bad, we think God's left us. Honey, you're messed up tonight. When you think things are going bad, God's with you more then than He ever was before. Huh? Oh, I'm telling you tonight, doubt can play such tricks upon our senses. Gideon looks but sees nothing. Watch the text. Oh, this is so good. Notice what he says in the text. He says in verse number 13, he says, why then is all this befallen us? Where be all his miracles which our fathers told of us? Say, did not our Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us. What's that little word, forsaken? Gideon's talking to God now. God's standing right there in front of him. He said, if you be here, dummy, you're talking to him, he must be there. He said, if the Lord hath forsaken us, that little word forsake there means to take the hands off. He said, God has taken his hands off of us. But watch the text. Look at verse 13. And delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Gideon, You're some plumb confused fellow. The little word forsaken means to take the hands off from. The little word delivered means to pick up and place. Gideon, how in this world can God do this and this? I tell you what, doubts will really have you confused about what God's doing. You'll have Him doing. If you operate on your senses and how you feel. I don't know about you, I never feel saved on Monday. I always feel lost on Monday. About Tuesday or Wednesday, I feel like I started getting it back. Huh? If I went on my feelings, I'd be in a mess. Oh, here, Gideon looks, but he sees nothing. As a matter of fact, he sees himself out of Christ. So many times, we look at what we are instead of who we are. You got the text there. Look at verse number 15. He said unto him, O my Lord, wherewithal shall I say this? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh. That little word poor there. He said, take the tribe of Manasseh. He said, my little old family is the least in the tribe of Manasseh. But look further at the text. He says, and I am the least in my father's house. That little word least there is a little doggy term. It is a little word runt. He said, my family, he said, we're the least of the litter in this Manasseh family. And he said, I'm the run of the litter. And he said, you coming around here telling me that I am going to deliver Israel out of the hands of the Midianites. Oh, what is he doing? He's seeing himself, not as who he is, but what he is. Look at verse number 17. And he said unto him, Gideon talking to the Lord, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. You know, this boy is awful confused. You know, doubt will have you confused. I mean, he's got God doing this. He's got God doing this. Now, God's talking to him, and he says, if you're talking to me. Very confused. See, when you operate on your feelings, your thinking, and your doings, you'll be confused. Oh, you'll be like a termite in a yo-yo. You won't know which way's up. Gideon looks, but sees nothing. Notice this second point now. We're talking about little faith now. Little faith must have what? It must be tested. Little faith will have his test. Gideon looks, sees nothing. Watch this second point. God looks and sees it all. Oh, I love that. God looks and sees it all. Look at verse number 12. The angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee. Hey, that's all you need. I don't care how you feel. Did you know the Lord's with me tonight and I don't even feel like He's with me? I tell you the truth, since I've been here tonight, I ain't felt a thing. I ain't felt no fuzzy wuzzy. I've been to church before and hell felt fuzzy wuzzy, wanting to cry. I ain't felt a thing tonight, but He's still with me. How come? He was. Now, I could tell Him while He's talking to me, telling me He's with me. I could ask Him, could you show me a sign and show, prove to me that you're here? He could do that, I guess. Or I could just accept His word. He said He's there. I like that, don't you? He's already told Gideon He's with. What does that mean, He's with him? It means that He's over him, He's beside him, He's behind him, He's before him, and He's under him. He said, Gideon, I got you covered. God looks, sees it all. Gideon looks, don't see nothing. Gideon is operating on what he can see, what he can feel. He is operating on the premise of the natural man. Matter of fact, in verse number 12, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Gideon thinks he's a runt. He thinks he's in just a little old teeny tribe. And God says, I'm with you. And he says, he's a mighty man of valor. He said, Gideon, he said, you're a power to be reckoned with if I'm with you. Whoa. I don't know how you see yourself. I tell you, preacher, I ain't much. I'm just an old nobody. I'm born and raised down here in Bowden, Georgia. I ain't no nothing God can do with me. I tell you what, I'm a noble king. Y'all pray for me. I tell you, I ain't. I tell you what, honey, if you got God with you tonight, you're a power to be reckoned with. Huh? You ain't even tapped into yet what you could tap into. Huh? Oh, you're going by what you can see tonight. See, Gideon looks, he didn't see nothing, but God looks and sees it all. I love this. Look at verse number 14. We're talking about God looking now. It says, and the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might. God has transferred his might to Gideon. It has become his might. He says, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? He's asking Gideon. He said, Gideon, let my look touch your look. He says, I'm a looking your way. Gideon, why don't you look my way? What's going to happen when those two looks get together? I tell you what, you're going to look beyond your littleness and see his bigness. You're going to look beyond your insufficiency and see his all-sufficiency. You're going to look beyond your impotency and see his omnipotency. You're going to look beyond your earthliness and see his eternalness. God sees it all. We're a power to be reckoned with. If God's with us, little faith, we'll have His test. Hey, instead of telling God how bad your Midianites are, why don't you go tell your Midianites how bad your God is? Huh? I like that, don't you? Oh, little faith. We'll have his test. Would you go a step further with me in the text? Not only does little faith, you remember faith given? Will be faith tested. Gotta test your faith. I don't know if he's testing your faith or not, but just wait around. He's a fixing to. Oh, he'll test the hound out of it. Now, little faith will have his test. Notice this second point. The lack of faith must have his test. Must have his test. See, Gideon is exhibiting a lack of faith. He's doubting God. He's telling God who's there. He's acting like he's not. He's telling God that he's taken his hands off and got his hands underneath him all at the same time. Lack of faith. Must have his touch. Watch this touch as it operates. Chapter number 6. I notice there is a triumphing over flesh in this touch. In this touch. Chapter number 6, verse number 18. Gideon said, depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee and bring forth my present. Gideon said, wait right here. I've got a present I want to give you. What kind of present does Gideon have? Triumphing over flesh. Lack of faith must have the touch of God. Watch the text. Look at verse number 19. And Gideon went in and made ready a kid and 111 cakes of ephod of flour. The flesh he put in a basket. Put the broth in a pot. Brought it out under the oak and presented it unto him. What is Gideon offering God here? He's offering God a living sacrifice. Living sacrifice. Isn't that what Paul told us to offer God in Romans chapter number 12? To offer ourselves a living sacrifice. Watch the text. Look at verse 20. And the angel of God said unto him, take the flesh. Isn't that what's bothering you tonight? Your stinking flesh? I don't know about you. I've not got mine to do no better since I got it. I've tried. Matter of fact, I've been taking it to church for 35 years and it still ain't been doing no better. Oh, it's mean. I tell you, if I take the reins off of it, it's mean as a devil. Oh, God. Just ask my wife. She's seen it come out before. Watch the text. He says, take the flesh, the unleavened cakes, and lay them upon this rock. He said, take that flesh and lay it upon that rock. What's a rock in the Bible? It's a picture of Christ. He said, take that flesh and lay it upon that rock. I tell you what, you'll never progress in your faith life till God does something with your flesh. Does something with your flesh. Watch the text. Don't miss it. He says, lay that flesh upon the rock. Pour out the broth. Look at verse 21. Then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of his staff that was in his hand, touched the flesh, the unleavened cakes, and there rose up a fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh. Hey, what happened when it's all over? Ain't nothing but rock left. Flesh is gone. What is this a picture of? This is a picture of your old man being crucified on the cross. I heard tell, right here in the United States recently, some guy saw that movie, The Passion of Christ, and he got this desire to crucify himself. He had heard preached before that we need to crucify ourselves. Tried it. Set up a cross in the living room. Got his feet nailed. Even got a hand nailed. But he couldn't finish the job. Still had a hand free. I tell you, that crucifying yourself, you ought not try that at home. Especially when you could believe tonight that it has already been done. He took your stinking old man on the cross and nailed it to the cross with him. That is the only thing that will help you with your faith life, is to believe that when he died, you died too. I like that, don't you? I tell you what, I've never seen anything bother a dead person. It just doesn't bother him at all. Huh? Here, he has consumed that flesh. Flesh is gone, nothing left but the rock. The lack of faith must have his touch. A touch on what? A touch on your flesh. You'll never do anything for God in a spectacular way until God touches your flesh. The flesh, your desire for things. Your desire for wanting more must be touched before faith will grow. Triumphing over the flesh. But I notice in this text, we're talking about a lack of faith now. It must have his touch. I notice in this text, chapter number 6, verses 38, 39, and 40, there is the travailing of fervency. Not only does the lack of faith need his touch, but there needs to be a triumphing of fervency. Forgive me. I'm sorry. Forgive me. I'm so sorry. I never until this past week saw this dew and this fleece deal. I'm sorry. I never had seen it. I never had done much with it. I had tiptoed around it a little bit, but I never saw it like I saw it this week. It knocked my socks off. You realize that this presenting of a fleece, asking God to let the dew be all over the ground, and then the next night, let it be all over the fleece. You know that that is a magnification of Gideon's doubts. You realize that, don't you? There's nothing. I hear people talking about putting out a fleece all the time. Ain't nothing wrong with putting out a fleece. Nothing wrong with putting out a fleece. If you realize, it's a magnification of your doubts. That's all it is. You just got to have a sign that God's done something. But watch this. Oh, this is so good. I hate to even show it to you. There is a travailing of fervency. Look at verse number 38. Verse 37, behold, I'll put a fleece of the wool on the floor. If the dew be on the fleece only, be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou said. And it was so, for he rose up early in the morning, thrust the fleece together and wring. Watch that little word, wring. It is the little word fervency. It is the little word earnest fervency. He took this fleece and he wrung it. What's he wringing it for, preacher? Getting a dew out of it. Do you know what dew is a picture of in the Bible? I've been studying dew here lately. There's about 9 or 10 accounts of dew in the Bible. This is one of them. It's a picture of the Holy Ghost. He's a ringing. Do you notice here that Gideon is praying? He's talking to the Lord. He said, now, Lord, he said, I'm going to put this fleece out here. He said, if that fleece is good and soft and wet with dew, and all around it's dry, he says, I'll know that you want me to deliver Israel. And he's wringing this dew out of this fleece. Matter of fact, he gets him a bowl full of dew. Bowl full of dew. Whole bowl full of dew. Don't miss this. Romans chapter number 8. Paul said this, likewise the Spirit helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what to pray or how to pray. What's old Gideon doing? He said, Lord, I don't even know what to pray. He said, I don't know how to pray. Well, what's he getting that bowl of dew for? Paul says in Romans chapter 8, but the Spirit maketh intercessions for us with groanings and utterings we cannot hear. Old Gideon is telling God, he said, God, he said, I don't know what to pray for. I don't know how to pray. Holy Ghost, why don't you just pray through me? Hey, when's the last time you got down on your knees and told God, I'm clueless? Lord, I've come to meet you in prayer, and here's what I'm going to do with our little prayer meeting this morning. You pray for me, Lord, because I ain't got a clue what to pray. Oh, I wish some of y'all could get like that. Some of y'all are so wordy when y'all go to pray. It just makes me think you know everything to say. Boy, I'd love to just see you bumfuddling. Say, God, I ain't got a clue as to how to pray. I don't even know what to pray for. Would the good Holy Ghost just cry? That's what Gideon's doing here. See tonight, a lack of faith must not only have his touch upon the flesh, there must be a triumphant fervency, the Holy Ghost praying through you. I tell you, it'll help your doubts tonight if you'll keep your mouth shut and let the Holy Ghost pray for you. Huh? Just say, preacher, I said, I'm just so full of doubts. Why don't you shut up? Let the Holy Ghost pray for you. He ain't full of doubts. He said he searcheth the deep things of God. He knows it all. Could I put this before you? We've looked at little faith now. We'll have his test. The lack of faith must have his touch. Watch this third little thought, and I'm done. Lordly faith. That's the faith he gives us. Lordly faith. We'll behold his truth. God will let you in on some things if you've got his faith. Notice the text, chapter number 7. This is such a big truth, I hate to even run it by you. I don't even know if you can get it or not. Little is little when you're in it. I don't care how big, how bad you think you are, but if you're in the middle of it, it's still little. Ain't going to never amount to nothing but little. Little is little when you're in it. Watch the text. Oh, I love it, I love it, I love it. Chapter 7, verse number 2. The Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many. Gideon got him an army together. 32,000. Man, that's not a bad army. And oh, Gideon, man, he's got troops out there. Done call for roll call. Little old Gideon's got his chest poked out like a rooster. Man, he's got them all standing at attention. Man, he's telling them, saying, we're going to go down here and take the Midian. Midianites, while he's strutting his stuff in front of him, God whispers to him, Says, Gideon, you got too many.
Got what?
Too many.
Whoa. I didn't think I had enough. He said, you got too many. He said, if you take them with that 32,000 and whip them Midianites, you'll be strutting around here talking about what you did. And he said, Gideon, he said, I don't want you strutting around here talking about what you did. He said, I want you strutting around here talking about what I did. You can already see where this is going. He ain't talking about God can't. He ain't talking about God will. He talking about God already has. So he tells them, he said, now Gideon, get them together and just ask them real quiet and real sweetly if any of them afraid they can go home. Of course, old Gideon still got his little something. This is the top of the line. It's cream of the crop. Ain't none of these old boys scared. He might be a handful of them scared. He said, any of you boys afraid, y'all can go home. Whoa! 22,000 of them disappeared. I can see that little old chest of Gideon's. It done fallen. But you know old self can pump itself back up. Well, at least I got 10,000. Yeah, that's the cream of the crop. I thought the rest of that crop. I had some ideas about that crowd. I didn't think they could take it. Well, we'll go down there with this 10,000. Another whisper to him. You got too many. You take them with them 10,000, you'd be bragging about what you can do. He said, take them down there and let them drink water. He says, the ones that drink and look while they're drinking, keep the eye on the enemy. He said, that's the crowd I want you to have. Oh, Gideon thought for sure out of that 10,000, there would be a majority of them would drink like that. 300 is all he's left with. Hey, that chest has fallen, and she won't pump up no more. What has God done with Gideon? He's brought him from doing great things, wonderful things, to doing impossible things. I wonder, when was the last time you asked God to do something impossible? Something absolutely impossible would happen. I've got something I'm asking God for right now. The longer I asked Him for it, the worse it gets. And it's looking on the brink of an impossibility. Honey, that's when He wants to get in and take over. It is impossible now. Gideon is going to take 300 men and go up against 120,000. That's how many is in the Midianite army. I'm talking about tonight. Little is little when you're in it. As long as Gideon was in it and thought he could do, it was still little. It would not amount to anything. Could I point this little thought out to you? Little is much when God is in it. When God is in it. Chapter number 7. Gideon is still doubtful. He's still afraid. Look at verse number 9. Came to pass that same night that the Lord said unto him, arise, get thee down to the host, for I have delivered them into thine hand. Did you notice he said, deliver them? Did you see that ED? He said, I've already delivered them into your hand. He said, I just want you to go down there and scope out the camp. I love verse number 10. Did you see it? But if thou fear to go down, go with Pura. Watch that little word, Pura. It is the little Hebrew word for shield or bodyguard. God said, Gideon, I heard your knees knocking. You can take Pura with you. So they go down there to look over the camp of the Midianites. They sneak in down there. Gracious. There's tents everywhere. Gideon is more scared than he's ever been.
They're just breathless. And they back up to a tent and they're trying to catch their breath. While they're sitting there, there's two Midianites in this tent. And they're talking. And one says to the other, "I had a dream last night." He said, "Sure enough, what did you dream?" He said, "I dreamed that a barley loaf by the name of Gideon." "A what?" "A barley loaf." You know barley bread, just coarse, little old thin. They called it barley bread because it was barely bread. He said, "Some little old wimp of a Jew by the name of Gideon, he's a barley loaf. He said, I dreamed last night he come a tumbling off of that mountain and wiped out every one of the Midianites." They're overhearing that. What does Gideon do? You got the Bible there? Chapter number 7. Little is much when God... Oh, I love this. I hate to even show it to you. Verse 15. "And it was so, when Gideon heard the telling of the dream, the interpretation thereof, that he worshipped." Gideon, Pura. They're not saying, "Oh!" They're not shouting, and they don't want to get killed. They're sitting there. Gideon's done got to crying. He's done sopped the whole front of his shirt. What happens during this worshipful experience? God bursts something inside of Gideon. What does he birth inside of him? Did you see it in verse number 15? He said, "Arise, for the Lord hath delivered us into your hand, the host of Midian." Have you ever wondered why this guy right here has spent the last 11 years trying to get you to shout and worship, trying to get some of you to lose your dignity and just worship the Lord? Because he knows there's some things you can only learn while you're worshiping. He can't teach you from that pulpit. You can't get in your devotions and learn them. You'll never learn them until you're lost in the presence of God, worshiping Him. And some of you have stood clear of it. It ain't got you at all. I've been coming for 10 years and I ain't seen you do nothing but sit there. You'll never get a hold of the big truths of God until you worship Him. You know the story. Gideon and them took their little old lamps down there and they had them shielded. They broke the glass, they lifted up the light, and they shouted, "Gideon and the Lord Almighty!" The Bible said that the Midianites killed themselves, and 120,000 bodies lay everywhere. Apart from shouting, breaking the lamps, could somebody tell me what Gideon and his 300 men did in order to beat the Midianites? Nothing. Nothing. Every battle is won tonight by Him doing it all through us and in us. Little faith is much when God is in it. God wants to take us from believing He can, believing He will, to believing that He already has. Can I tell this little story? I believe. Forgive me. Forgive me. Forgive me. I believe I've told this story before. I've been here so many times. I've told you everything I know. I wouldn't tell you, but I've even told you some things I didn't know. I'm pretty sure I've told you this story before, but I'm sure some of you that heard it didn't hear it. And some of you are new and you never heard it. I remember the first time God confronted me about believing that He already had.
done something. I had started out in evangelism, and of course, it was real slow when I started. I think I preached 18 meetings the first year. You can't make a living on 18 meetings. Nothing don't change. I'll preach 50 weeks this year. Next year's mostly booked. I'm booking in 2006. I don't know how all that happened. God does. But when I first started, just a few meetings. But I had my wife working. And that was my ace in the hole. You know, if we didn't have any money, we could always, you know, fall back on her. But she got this idea. She wanted to travel with me. She's tired of staying at home and all that good stuff. And so she told somebody she retired in those days. I told her, she knew you ought not tell people you retired, because that's the indication you're still getting a check. And you ain't getting no check. You quit. But we kept acting like she was still getting her check. We kept spending like she was still getting her check. And she wasn't getting her check. Bud, we got in debt big time. Oh, were we ever in debt. We needed $3,000, and we needed it yesterday. I was down in the motel praying. God told me, He says, I want you to get up off your knees. He said, don't want you to ask me for that $3,000 no more. He said, I want you to get up off your knees, and He said, I want you to act like you already got it. Now, I don't know if you've ever tried to act like you had $3,000 when you ain't got $3,000. It's extremely difficult. But the best I knowed how, and the best God would allow me, I began to act like I already had that $3,000 in the bank. Of course, you know God don't stop there. He had some other little stipulations. He says, I want you to give me 15% of your income right off the top. He said, I want it. He said, I don't care if you lose everything you got. Can't make your house payment. And they have to hock your house. You lose your car, and you have to ride a Greyhound bus home. Ain't got nothing left but the clothes on your back. He said, I want you to cut me 15% right off the top. I said, Lord, you're crazy. I said, I can't even afford hardly to give you 10 now. I'm straining to give you 10. He said, I want 15%. I'll not tell you where he stopped, but he didn't stop at 15%. He keeps a bumping. He said, I want you to get up off your knees. He said, I want you to act like you got that $3,000. And he says, I want you to cut me 15% off the top. Already, I don't see it impossible, because I've been thinking, you know, maybe if I have some good offerings along the way, I can make up that money. But now he wants that other 5%. He's going to take the profit. What's he doing? He's pushing me in the corner of the impossible. Do you know what he did when I got up off my knees and began that first few days to believe that he had already... You won't believe what he did. Oh, you won't believe what he did. He didn't do nothing. It got worse. Best I know how, I kept a believing that I already had that $3,000. I was a preaching in a church in Chesney, South Carolina. I remember that Sunday morning when I mounted the pulpit and turned around and looked out on the crowd. I remember the saying of my youngest son, who is a preacher now. He said, Daddy, he said, it looked like a bunch of white caps. I said, what? He said, it looked like a bunch of white caps. The house was filled with gray-headed people. They had fixed income written all over them. I need $3,000. Fixed income all over them. But I'm going to keep believing that God's already given it to me. Tuesday night, there was an elderly couple come up. They looked like they was poor as Job's turkey. She had on an old sack dress that she had made, and he had on an old pair of bib overalls. He looked like he'd had them for 30 years. They were so faded. Well, when I shook her hand, I felt something go from her hand to my hand. Well, I figured that she didn't want him to know anything about it. So I just sort of stuck it in my pocket. Well, I shook his hand. I felt something go from his hand to my hand. I just figured that he didn't want her to know what he's doing. So I just slipped it in my pocket. When I got to the motel room, they had palmed two $100 bills in my hand, 100 from her and 100 from him. You know, I didn't want to be ungrateful, but I needed 3,000. I don't know if you've ever had 200 needing 3,000. It's a long ways from 3,000. But I didn't want to be ungrateful. I remembered my old preacher friend from Kentucky. He said the IRS sent him a $60 refund one day. Got it cashed. He had 3 $20 bills. Went home and told his wife, said, "Get ready, we're going shopping." He said he was in there shaving. He said, God said, go down there to the bottom of the mountain. Give that $60 to the black lady down there that takes in washing and ironing. He said, I had to go in and tell my wife, we ain't going shopping. He said, I went down to the bottom of the mountain, knocked on the door. The black lady come to the door. He said, God told me to give you this, and handed it to her. Got back in his car, went down the bottom of the mountain, turned around, come back up the mountain. He said she was in the front yard, had those 3 $20s, throwing them up in the air. Well, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. He said as he went by the house, God whispered to him and said, if you'd act like that when I give it to you, I'd have let you keep it. So I didn't want to act ungrateful with my $200. I wanted to throw them up in the air and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. When I closed out Wednesday night, never forget it in all my life, old preacher folded that little old check up. He must have folded it in 7 folds. Had a little old teeny thing. And he said it real cheapishly as he gave it to me. He said, brother, here's a little something to tide you over. I just knew when they said a little something. When I got in the car, unfolded that check, how much do you think it was for? $2,800. 28 plus 2 makes 3. I could write a book about the times God has made me to believe that He's already done it. I was a wonder, do you need anything impossible tonight? I mean, it's out of your reach. It's beyond your ability. I wonder if you'd have the intestinal fortitude to call that guts over my part of Georgia, to get in this altar, ask God to give you the ability to believe that He's already done. Maybe even get down here and worship Him a little bit. Let Him burst some things in your heart that He's already done some things for you, and you can lay hold to them.